Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome back to Both Sides of the Mic, the real his and hers unfiltered, the show where we don't pick sides, we don't coddle on a one gender, and we don't pretend like relationships are one person's fault or just one person's fix. We try to give you both sides, his and hers, obviously, real, raw, unfiltered, because that is the only way we're ever going to help anybody. So the mission is simple, you guys, two perspectives, okay? Two perspectives and the truth that a lot of relationship shows are scared to tell you. And I have to tell you guys, like, I'm feeling super good today. And it's not from whatever shot everybody else is lining up for. I took a shot of balance oil this morning. And so you guys are all standing out here in lines for shots that kind of wreck your body. And I'm taking one that actually works. Omegas, doing what they do, brain clear, body right. And now you guys get the best version of me. Because I do feel like I'm on fire. So, Brandon Lynette, that's me. And now I want to introduce the man on the other side of the mic. He is a podcast guru, the host of Power of Man, bringing the masculine perspective with zero apology and full integrity. Please welcome my co-host, Rory.
Well, thank you very much. What an intro.
Right?
Whew, man, that was awesome.
Today.
We are getting the best of Brandon today because that was the best intro I've ever gotten. I'll take that, and I will do my best not to choose sides today either, but you're wrong. We'll just keep going.
I know Roy's excited because it's the show he gets to call me out, gets to call me out on. So
That's right.
it's
It's the only one where I have a chance.
yeah. No, we've been really good at disagreements. I think it hasn't been escalated. It's never too far. So I think we handle that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
100%.
So I even sent the screenshot to Rory, you guys, about the direction of the show. So, if you're curious about things that we cover, make sure you're subscribed, okay, right now, because I went to Google's top 20 list of marriage help topics, relationship help topics. And I had to get specific because, like, some of these studies that they've done are like what Google captures, it's kind of scary out there. And I'm like, people are not Googling that, okay? So it took me a second to find like the real list for the real humans. And one of the top topics I saw was how to rebuild trust. And I do think that this is a big issue out there. You know, there's a lot of shenanigans going on, okay? But I don't want to just talk about rebuilding trust, you know, not just talking about it, not just saying I forgive you and sweeping it under the rug. But like I want to help you guys learn to actually do the work to get trust back. And of course, because I am a woman, ladies, I'm coming for y'all first, because that's what we're gonna do here. I want you to take massive responsibility. Our guys carry a lot of stuff on their plate, and I'm not giving them a green light to whatever. Okay, I'm just saying. There needs to be a mirror moment in your life, and that's where I want to start. So before you even talk about like what he did to break your trust, I want you to ask yourself, like, can you honestly look in the mirror and ask yourself, did I create an environment where he felt safe being honest with me? Because sometimes the lie came before the lie did, if you understand that. Like, you need to choose your responsibility in that and own it. Own your massive responsibility. And Rory, from obviously the man's side, when a man lies or pulls away, how much of that is actually tied to whether he felt safe telling the truth in the first place? And then we can flip-flop this.
There's a lot to that. I'm in a men's group every Thursday night. It's on YouTube and a bunch of us get together and we kind of talk about the men's side of a lot of these issues. And last night this actually came up as a kind of a question, and it was about showing vulnerability, and all this stuff that, we've talked about a little bit before. But, when you talk about trust and rebuilding it, there's so many aspects of that. And I think this is another instance where, from the male perspective, women want men to open up and they want us to be vulnerable and that type of thing. But then when we do, then it's almost like we let them down. The reaction we get back is one of fear. Like, oh my God, he's broken. If he's not going to go out and fix this, then what are we going to do? Type of thing. So it depends on your dynamic, of course, but your wife has to be able to trust you. And when I say wife, I mean girlfriend, significant other, all at the same time. But for, to be easier to speak about, I'll just say wife. Your wife has to be able to trust you, not just to, not step out or, not cheat or any of these other, not lie, but to also to be the man you said you were going to be, and to take care of the things that you said you were going to take care of, that you promised you were going to take care of. And then when you don't, or if you look as though you can't, then that's a violation of trust also, because she can no longer trust that you're going to handle the family. And what you've just done now is you've just forced your wife into this, sort of toxic promotion where she now has to handle everything because you just collapsed. So your trust is really deep, between both sexes, both roles, and there's so many different angles to it.
Yeah.
I mean, whichever angle you want to go for is great, but there's so many.
Right. Well, I think outside of all the angles, because that we could have a show for every angle for the next 12 weeks,
True.
So I do want to just kind of open it up to just general, general trust. I'm sure if we're being honest, people are probably Googling this question because there was some level of infidelity or, a hint of infidelity. I think, especially with social media and stuff, there's a lot of boundaries that are crossed in that space. So I guess if I was to guess, and y'all, I didn't research it. Okay. My best guess would be that question is coming up because of that. And that's an integrity thing. It's an integrity thing of like, calling my ladies out on this, you have to hold the highest amount of integrity for your relationship because this is what I know to be true. Whether, my husband's going to make his own choices, it doesn't matter. If a man is going to do it, he's going to do it. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, it is a problem within themselves. And so my thing is, have I protected our relationship with integrity? Have I drawn boundaries to know? Like, people know I'm absolutely married, and I was a bartender, you guys. Okay. There was an absolute line drawn in the sand where, I protect that integrity of my marriage. There is no, flirty conversations in my inbox. There is no, I don't entertain, ridiculous things in my inbox. It's the line is drawn very tightly. And that's all I can do is take massive responsibility for myself. And I can't lose sleep over what my husband's going to do because he's going to do what he's going to do. Regardless, you guys understand we cannot control other people. So from a man's perspective, if that's kind of the subject that we're just going to assume is fidelity or infidelity, then what is your perspective from a man when it comes to that? Because women cheat too, but I would say significantly our guys kind of go a little overboard more.
All right, agree to disagree. Here we go. For the first time in history, according to current stats, and I think if we Googled this up and ran it through ChatGPT, which I guess is the new like world order,
Going as
men.
we speak.
I mean, please do. I read somewhere that women were out cheating men now. I would love to get some clarification on that from somebody. She's tapping it into ChatGPT right now. So,
Men cheat slightly more overall, but the gap is shrinking. It is shrinking. And the problem is that people aren't honest when they do the studies. But overall lifetime of cheating, it is 20 to 25% of married men have admitted to cheating. So we know the number is higher, right? It's like going to your doctor and saying, I never drink, but you have those weekend cocktails. And 10% of married women have admitted to cheating.
admitted to.
Yep, again. So historically, what's showing is that men have cheated more. And the younger generations, the difference is a little bit smaller. So we're talking about the age from 25 to 35. It is showing they are equal. 25 to 35, the gap is showing that it's pretty equal.
And in the under 25, I think it's the other way.
It's not even giving me stats for under 25.
That's probably because a woman is writing that right now.
Yeah, no,
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, okay? This is an old Jewish man that I'm talking to right now. I'm not even joking,
That's
okay?
because Brandon has
Yeah.
the GPT in her hand, and so we're not seeing what I was referring to, which is right. It's funny because I mean that's kind of the point. You can see it. It's like, you know, with like sort of the Gen Xers, right? It was the men cheated more than women. Then you come down a generation of millennials, and it gets more evened out. You get to Gen Z, you know, like where my kids are at. My boys, anyway. My daughter is a millennial. My boys are Gen Zers, and it is, you know, they're saying it's even. Even means it's not. And then underneath that is the other way. Now, the reason that I'm saying that too is because if, and let's call a spade, okay? If a couple breaks up and it's because of the man's infidelity, usually that's pretty public, right? The woman's going to tell everybody that he cheated. The man's going to admit to the fact that he cheated. And to be honest, he's probably not even going to suffer that bad socially because of it.
Of course
Because
not.
it's just the old world view, right? I mean, you know, in Christian circles, it's going to be, dude, how could you know, come on, you know? But it's not this, it doesn't carry the same stigma. Whereas if a woman does the cheating, not only is the woman not going to admit that she cheated, because then she has the Scarlet A on her, right? Forever with her groups and her crowds, and especially around the other kids. But then the man's not going to admit that
Yeah.
his wife cheated because it means he's less of a man. I mean, she went and found somebody because I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Men will never admit that their wives cheated. Women don't admit that they cheated. So, you know, I've always thought the stats were way off on that. But when the stats are showing even, that tells me right there that women are out cheating men
Yeah.
by a mile at this point. And so I think that's kind of how we've changed. But I just want to make sure we brought that up. I want to have an even playing field for the conversation.
Well, it's not even in that 45 and older group, Roy, so nice try. It's not. It's still like a 15% difference. So
They lie.
us older ladies have real integrity. We're not cheating. It's these young shits. Okay, that's not us. But when it comes to rebuilding trust, you guys, honestly, no matter what the issue is, and maybe it's not as much as cheating, I know that trust can be broken on even a small level. But I know the big conversation, like I said, is probably being Googled for that. But like
For
my
sure.
thing is like keeping score is a problem. Like if you're keeping score, especially ladies, because I know some of y'all like to do this, okay? I work with ladies, I know how your minds think. I am one. Because if every time he's trying to do better, you bring up something from 6 months ago, you are not rebuilding trust. Like you're building him a little courtroom, you know? So how do you know when you are the one blocking the rebuild? You have to take that responsibility. And it's the same thing for guys. You need to take that responsibility. If you're gonna forgive her, it's not about putting her in a courtroom anymore. But I mean, I know what it's gonna feel like. For me, if I broke trust and I have to show up in a courtroom every day, I'm out. Like I'm out. Either you're gonna choose to move forward with me, I'm not gonna keep living in the past, right? I screwed up. And you guys, I've made mistakes in my whole life with my kids, with everyone. So trust is something you're gonna rebuild naturally. This is a blanket conversation. But like, how does it feel for a guy who's genuinely trying to change, but he keeps getting tried for old crimes?
Yeah, that's a great point. To the overall point of, you know, when people do actually fall into cheating, infidelity, that isn't the symptom. That's the result of all of these other steps that have gone unnoticed, untended to. You know, your garden just doesn't turn into weeds all over the place, you know, overnight. It's because you haven't tended it for, you know, months and months and months. So there's all kinds of things that add to that. You know, you chip away at a guy long enough, he breaks. Okay. It's funny because you brought up that particular instance. That's the main reason why guys cheat. I mean, in almost every case, again, guys talk about it more freely and more openly, I think, when it does happen for these studies to be done. Men don't leave for someone who's prettier, right? They don't leave because they just want to have sex with somebody else. They leave because they feel horrible where they are, and someone else comes along and makes them feel better about who they are. And that's all a man wants and is looking for is just to not feel like he's nothing. You know, when we have no value, I did an episode on this morning, one of my podcasts, about how we have to have pride in something in order to function as men. And if the person that you were spending your life with is sort of the key architect, or I guess, you know, wrecker of that pride and confidence, then you're left with nothing, in a lot of ways. In terms of trust and trying to bring it back together, yeah, I'll throw this to you. As a man, if a woman cheats on the man, almost exclusively, I'm telling you, I mean almost completely, of the guys I work with, I would say 99.999% of them, there's no going back.
No.
For the man, there's no going back, because that's a trust, that's a role, that's a humiliation that can never be overcome, ever, no matter what. So there is no counseling, there's no patching that up, there's no therapy. Nothing's ever going to establish that trust again, and the man will never feel the same in that relationship ever again. How is it now in women? I know that there's people who make their living on this stuff, okay, but for women, can you ever really trust the guy again if he's done that?
That's interesting. I would say, yeah.
I'm dying to hear the reason on that one, and don't go look at ChatGPT.
No, personal experience. Personal experience, it happened to me, and I communicated. I let him communicate, and I was willing to work through the issues. 100%. I wouldn't say I was whole and healed and healthy. I wasn't who I am today. But yeah, and I think about it now. I think like I love my husband. Like I'm obsessed. He's my whole world. He's who I want to do life with. I don't, there's not any single part of me that ever would want to rebuild that. So if he did something stupid, and if he listened to this and he did something stupid, I would kill him. So I'll make sure he doesn't listen because I'm not giving a free pass. So I'm gonna make that clear. But like, if he did something, it would be really hard for me to just be like, okay, I'm done, because I didn't screw up. I didn't change how I felt about him. I love him. I need to figure out what was the gap that I wasn't. What's the missing, the communication gap here? Like, what's missing? And if he's willing to want to work it out and to want to be, committed, I would want to work on that. We still have little kids. I would think about all of that perspective. Do I think it would be the hardest thing? It was the hardest thing before. It was the hardest thing for me. And I remember who, on my knees in front of the pastor, just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do. And ultimately, yeah, I mean, that relationship did up end up in divorce, but it wasn't because of a trust issue. So I would say, for me, I don't know all ladies, but like I'd be devastated, and I would want to try to make it work. It would suck. It would really suck, but like I just, that'd be a hard thing to walk away from, right? It You can't just turn love off. You just can't. That's the part of like choosing someone and being unconditional is like, no matter what mistakes he makes, I have his back 100%. And, do I think, I'm pretty confident that, I don't ever have to worry about this ever. But I'm also confident in that, I've worked through a lot of things with him, and I wouldn't just give up.
Wow. Okay. So from now on, we need a little background on our episodes so that I don't put my foot in my mouth like that. And that
It's
was
not a foot in your mouth.
really something to sharing that way.
Yeah,
I
definitely
gotta
not a
say
foot in your
though, but just from a listener standpoint,
mouth.
thank you for clarifying, because when you kind started that whole thing, I thought you were talking about something that happened with you and Ben.
Oh, no.
And I was
Sorry.
about to just be like, you might as well stop recording, because we're not airing this.
No.
I was like,
No.
this is
I didn't
done.
mean that to. It
This
was an
episode's over.
ex-husband.
Got
Okay,
it. Got it. No,
ex-husband.
we all got it, but I know I'm not the only listener who went, what
Sorry.
is happening right now?
No, he's safe for now, and
Yeah,
really, till
no.
death, I take that very serious. So,
That's as soon as you started giving him the warning, I'm like, okay, she's not talking about Ben then.
yeah, just
Okay,
warning of
God.
like, I mean, I would forgive him for anything and work through him. You know, it doesn't mean it's a free pass. And I think every relationship should be like that. Like, we should have that security of knowing it is very unconditional. You know, if you expect perfection from your partner, like, you're going to be severely disappointed, you know? And I have, this is the thing, that communication gap, even in my marriage now. Okay, I learned from the mistakes of two divorces. In my marriage now, I know I communicate like what my boundaries are. Like, I'm not okay with this, I'm not okay with that. If you are, and that's what you would continue, like, I support that, but I can't be a part of it, right? So there's serious boundaries when we were building our relationship that I set up. But it's that communication, you know? So those little tiny trust things that kind of add up. I want you guys to be honest, for ladies and my guys, like, you actually tell your partner, do you tell them exactly what you need, or do you expect them just to figure it out? Because you guys know, like, men are not mind readers, okay? Like, they're not.
No.
I used to think he should just have it figured out, and then I raised two boys and I'm like, yeah, they're never gonna figure it out. They're never
Not
gonna
our
figure
DNA.
it out. No, it is not in their DNA. So if you're like doing this little game and you're communicating hints and your little silence, and then you feel betrayed because he missed all that, like, that's on you. So you really need, in a relationship, and when I've coached couples, this is the one of the things, like, it can just take one person to change the relationship, honestly. 'Cause if you take this massive responsibility and own your stuff, it changes everything. So own where the communication breakdown is happening. But, like, what is the biggest communication failure you see women making that they don't even realize is destroying trust?
Wow, that's a big one. Man, the biggest thing that women are doing, the biggest mistake women are
Yeah,
making.
to guide.
I mean, you may have hit it with the, assuming that we know. It's more than that though. It's not just assuming that we know. Because that's we talked about that before. You're not wrong that they assume that we know, so then we don't, and then there's a breakdown. But it's more than that. It's about what's important to each of us is different. And that doesn't mean that like she's not important to me or I'm not important to her. It means that in the world, in our own makeup, we are needing different things. A woman needs a different validation. She needs to be validated differently than a man does. And neither one of us understand that until we do. I think that's probably the biggest issue, because we don't get that we don't get it, So a man thinks that he's validating his woman. He thinks he's telling her she's beautiful and, thanking her for what she does and everything else, but that's not what she needs necessarily. And unless you say, look, I'm missing the boat, what do I need to do different? And you somehow open that communication, then you're never going to understand that you don't get it. So we really do have to take that step back. But, I've seen men who are willing to do this because they get in this area of desperation. And they literally come out and they go, I don't know what to do. It's going to be a divorce because nothing I do is right. I can't get it, nothing. And it's frustration and desperation. And then they come out and they go, what can I do different? When women hit that point, it seems like, and I'll let you respond to that, but it seems like it's more of a almost contempt. It's like, well, he didn't get it. So you know what? Too bad for him. And it's almost an anger thing returned response. There is no desperation, I don't think, on the side of the woman in this because she's holding all the cards. So she's like, you didn't get it. I gave you every chance to get it. You know what? To hell with him. Get out of here. And men are like, sitting here with their hands up, like, I'll do whatever. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, my
So,
ladies
I mean,
aren't
is
gonna
that accurate?
They're not gonna like what I have
What's
to
that?
say. I said my ladies aren't gonna like what I have to say here.
Going to throw that to you. You know what I'm building. So I'm going to toss it over to you to either work on or destroy.
I've seen this happen, and that's what happens, where they just decide they're done. And that, to me, is a victim mentality. Woe is me, he never figured it out. Like, ew, run for the hills, guys. Seriously. I've literally, this is what I still currently have to do with my husband. If I have to tell him something, I'm also communicating the response I need quickly, right? I don't hint about it, but it's like literally, I'm going to say this and I need you just to validate me. I know whatever this wasn't intentional, but like my feelings are super hurt right now and I'm freaking out. So I just need you to say okay, that it's going to be okay. Hold me, whatever. Or, I need a solution for this. Can we work on something that we can agree on? Can we get on the same page? It is literally, I tell him exactly what I need, you guys. Otherwise, I'm over there feeling sorry for myself. It's one of those things I get super pissed off every holiday, you guys. I'm in a bunch of moms groups, right? And all these ladies start freaking out about, like, I didn't get anything for Valentine's Day. I got nothing for Christmas, nothing for my birthday. Like, here's the thing. Did you communicate what you wanted or expected? It's very simple, very simple. Like, I make it clear to my husband, look, I'm not a flowers girl. I've never been that girl. I'm not even a gifts person. That is not my thing. Not my thing. I don't turn it down, but it's just not, it's not who I am. I very much communicate that. Like, I don't want this stuff. I don't need this stuff. Like, there's other things we can do. Even for my birthday, I planned it. I didn't expect him. I don't expect a surprise. I don't expect him to try to read my mind and be like, oh, guess what we did? I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. Everybody be here at 5 o'clock. Very simple. No expectation for him to figure that out. So it is communication, or you really are just a perpetual victim.
I love that. I do want to touch on the birthday thing for a minute if we can, only because I think that's another, miscommunication moment. Most women are not going to fall in that category, I don't think. Again, this is, from a man's standpoint. Because what men are looking for in that position, this is where we make the mistake. So I'll throw all of us on our swords for a moment, is that we go out and we're looking for a partner in life. That's what we're looking for, in terms of the social aspect of our marriage. I mean, obviously there's more to it, that we really need out of a marriage, but the social aspect, we're looking for a partner. And so we think we have a teammate. Very often we fall into that thinking. And it's like, hey, maybe we're broke, maybe we're rebuilding, maybe we're spending all our money on the kids. Kids have a camp and need clothes and blah, blah, blah. So we really can't afford. I'll be the first one to go, don't buy me anything for my birthday with my money that I earned that I want to spend on something else. Right. And then tell me we can't afford groceries. How stupid is this? Take back the tie. Yeah, I don't need it, But we expect our wives to be partners in that thought process. And so we think, hey, we know we're rebuilding. We know we don't really have a ton of money right now. So we're going to just not do anything for our birthdays and our holidays right this second till we get out of this. And women don't buy into that. They may on the surface, but in all honesty, most women don't. They still want to be celebrated in some way. They still want the birthday. They still want the flower. They still want the rose. They want the consideration in some fashion. And it's a huge trap guys fall into, is we think that we're talking about a partner when in reality we're talking about, your spouse who is still depending on you to figure it out. If you don't have enough money, well, then maybe you need to not eat lunch for 3 days so that you can get her the gift for her birthday. It's that type of a thing. I mean, for men, we're easy. Only one thing we want for our birthday. Real simple. It doesn't cost anything. You know what I mean? But other than that, it's a trap we fall into on our end. So no matter how the woman's trying to act, as soon as a man falls into that, he's toast. It's over.
Well, I apologize on behalf of women because that sucks. And
Half of women.
hopefully some of them can wake up and understand, like, if, I mean, if that was the thing, if Ben came to me, he's like, hey, we don't have money for whatever, and if I was a gift person, like, why would I give myself another victim mentality status? Why would I cling to something that's just going to make me feel sorry for myself? Like, I don't need to be celebrated. Is it cool? Yeah, it's fun, but like, I choose and create my own happiness, my own st like, I celebrate myself every day, you guys. So I just, that's unfortunate. And ladies, I hope you think twice about that. Like, I don't know what to tell anybody whose love language is gifts of affirmation or gifts or whatever. It's just gifts, right? Like,
Oh, don't get me started on love languages in general. So I think you and I probably both would throw that book right out the window. I hate it.
I tried to use it and I realized it just didn't fit. It actually, I mean, we could have a whole episode on that. It messed up my perspective in my marriage. I'll tell you that, because I was like, wow,
Hate it.
he's just not giving me what I need. And it started a whole thing inside myself. I don't even know if I've ever apologized to him for that. But yeah, it brought out a whole thing because I was trying to put him in this box thinking that men can do this. And then I was like, wait, I don't even want that from him because he's a man. He would be not my man if he was like that. So yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But this is a hard one too. Okay, you guys, this situation, like, do you ever pull your trust back emotionally, physically, spiritually, before he even officially breaks it? Like, I feel like we bring our baggage into other places and we shut down first to protect ourselves, and then we're wondering why our relationship is rotting from the inside out. Like, you really need to examine yourself and say, like, am I already protecting myself before there's an actual threat? Okay. So how does a man respond when he senses a woman has emotionally checked out? Because I know you guys know on some level when that happens, even if nothing's been said.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is what gets brought into the relationship, obviously, does carry in. Guys will do the same thing. They'll, if they were cheated on or if they were treated badly or whatever it is, they come into the new relationship and they automatically think that's what's coming next. So they might be like, hey, who are you going out with? What are you doing? Well, that's because of what happened in the past hurt that we didn't do anything with. When it comes to just emotionally checking out, it is clear. And guys, either say, fine. Okay, and that's it because they're not going to fight for it. And I think it really has to do with kids. But guys who don't have kids are like, well, then we're done. If she's going to emotionally check out and there's nothing here, what am I fighting for? And you're done. Now, if you have kids, you lose your kids if you lose your wife. So you can't just break up because she's emotionally checked out. You have to somehow find a way to bridge the gap or you lose your children. And that's just a fact. We can do another whole episode on that if you want. But as a man in a divorce court, you have no rights. You can't do anything. And as soon as you lose your relationship with your wife, you lose your children. Overnight, that's it. No coming back, and nobody cares. So, from a man's standpoint, we know that it's all built into unfortunately, the whole process. So, we're baking different dishes at this point. The woman's worried about how she feels and what she's not getting, and that the husband isn't giving it to her. The man is worried about what he's not getting and then going, but that doesn't matter because I need to stay together for my kids. So what do I have to do to give her what she needs? And then we enter desperation again. Kids are one of the biggest things that push us into that desperation in the marriage. Otherwise, a lot of guys will try to have a semblance of pride and pull back a little bit and go, okay, fine. If that's how you're going to be, then you know what? What are we wasting our time on? You don't want to be close. You don't want to, be intimate, whatever it is. You're pulling back emotionally, physically, the whole nine yards. Well, then I'm out. This is dumb. What are we doing? Okay, I'll take my easy chair and my TV and I'm leaving. All the rest of the stuff's yours, I'm sure. Right? What does a guy need? And they walk on, and that's it. But we do it too, in terms of letting the stuff from before come into play. But we just have different ways of looking at it when it starts to break down. We have to take different things into account.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think another thing that is a really big issue too is the forgiveness fraud. Like, if you tell someone you forgive them, but you don't mean it, like, I'm telling you guys, fake forgiveness is one of the most dangerous things in relationships because you're literally giving that illusion of healing and the wound is wide open and it's getting infected. You have to figure it out. What's the difference between real forgiveness and just saying the words to move on? Like, is it something that guys can decipher? Because I do feel like we have some sort of intel, like if someone is not being genuine with their forgiveness, but can guys tell that? Like, is there something you guys are keen to when you know you're forgiven but not actually forgiven?
Wow, love that one. And I can say with all honesty, and a lot of guys are going to hate me for saying this too, and women are going to stand up and disagree with this, but I don't believe that there is forgiveness from anyone other than God. I don't believe it for a minute. If I have wronged you, you're never going to forget it. All we have is, can you live with it and move on or not? So you're never really going to forgive me for it. And the proof that makes me right in this is that, 10 years from now, I'm going to hear about it again.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
But
You
see,
know,
that's
5 years from
the
now, I'm
problem.
going
That's
to
the
hear about it
problem.
again.
Yeah.
Well, if it was forgiven, you'd never hear about it again.
Right.
Okay. And then people, oh, well, you can forgive, but it doesn't mean you have to forget. No, if you don't forget and it's still a thing and you use it as a weapon later, you have not forgiven that. I don't care what the semantics are of the situation. So I don't believe on either side there's forgiveness. I think the entire equation is, you enter into a relationship, man and woman, and from moment one, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to hurt each other. And I think every hurt gets dealt with and gets settled, and then there's a tag put on it.
Yeah.
Here's this hurt. Here's what happened. And the tag either says game over or go to chapter four.
Yeah.
That's it. You either take the next step or you're done. Every single thing, I think, just kind of has that litmus test on it. Everything that goes wrong between you as a couple either is the end of it or you can still move through it. Nothing ever really gets forgiven. It's always remembered. It always is going to be a weapon later on when we get upset and mad and angry because this is who we are as a people. So
Yeah, that's, I mean, I can,
horrible. I'm sorry. That was probably
no,
terrible.
I,
I
that's a
just,
lot of doom and gloom. I'm sorry for
it's
whoever
just
hurt you.
honesty. It's
I'm
just
sorry for it.
honesty.
I'm gonna message your wife and tell her that you need a hug today. I was like, please just
My wife's going to hear this and she's going to be like, what?
No, on there is a level where I get that, but I also don't agree, and it's not even a relationship standpoint. Like, I genuinely have been hurt by a lot of people, and I genuinely forgive them. I don't feel any sort, I'm not drinking the poison, and I'm not bringing it up because I'm not having shit to do with you for the rest of your life. But it's, I'll never forget, but I'm also not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to bring it up, and it's been the catalyst for everything in my life. Everybody that's hurt me has pushed me to my next level, so I'm very grateful. I couldn't imagine not forgiving my husband, like I said in the beginning, if we went through this process. I feel like I would give him that same part of me. And maybe it's just because I'm a female, our brains work differently. I can respect that. But I do feel like absolutely you can forgive people. I mean, I've done it. I literally did it and continued to build a life and had babies with, someone that devastated me. So I forgave, and it wasn't something that was ever brought up. That was it. Like, I'm gonna forgive this, and I never weaponized it. That's the problem, is that, people are weaponizing it. So that's not real forgiveness. I think real forgiveness, absolutely, God's a part of it. I couldn't forgive people without Christ. There's no way. But that's because I hand it all off. I'm like, God, I'm gonna forgive this person, and I'm handing you every ugly feeling I have because I can't carry that. I can't carry that. So, yeah, that was my
Yeah.
disagreement.
I'm with you. I can't carry that part.
Yeah.
I'm with you on carrying the poison.
Yeah.
I get that because, like carrying the hatred or being upset and mad. And I think you can let go of some of those things for yourself, especially.
Yeah.
But when you look at it and you say, all right, this person who hurt you that you say you forgave, right?
Yeah.
And they did these terrible things, whatever it was. They come back in your life tomorrow. You're going to remember every one of those things. You're going to hold all those things against them. You're not going to just trust them. Someone who hurt you like that comes in and says, "Hey, I'd love to come see you. Let me meet your kids."
Yeah.
I know you a little bit. Pretty sure you're going to be like, "You hurt me. I'm not letting you anywhere near my kids."
Yeah.
See, that isn't forgiveness, though. In my world, in my book, what that says is, we're back to when you get hurt. Is it we're done, or is it I can live with it?
Yeah.
And I think, in your case, maybe you got hurt a whole bunch and kept deciding, but it wasn't bad enough that I can't live with it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep moving forward. I think we call that forgiveness because we want to feel like that. And I think that helps us let go of it. I just don't think it's actual forgiveness. If you're still going to hold it against somebody in the future, then it's definitely not forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so that's all, that's the only thing that I would contest on the terminology. If my wife says, I forgive you for whatever it is you did, and then brings it up to hit me with it later, then she didn't forgive me for it.
you. Yeah.
No, and that's just how I look at it. Maybe I just have a different vernacular. Like I said, the only person I think that's capable of true forgiveness, meaning they aren't ever going to hold it against us because they have forgiven us and we now have a clean slate, is God.
Yeah.
I think that's the only forgiveness that's out there. And yeah, maybe that's bleak, but by the same token, I think it's just realistic, you know, because I think we all want to forgive and we want to act like, oh, you know, I can forgive and I can move forward. If my wife cheats on me, I'm never forgiving that.
Yeah.
I'm never forgetting that. I'll never get past it. We're done. It's over.
Yeah.
There isn't any way to come back from it. If I cheated on her, she's never going to forgive me for it. We should be done. But if she can't survive on her own and I'm the sole breadwinner and we've got kids to take care of, then she may decide that it's not bad enough for us to be done
Yeah.
and put that tag on it. But that doesn't mean she forgave me.
Right.
I'm going to get beat with that every time, you know, anything comes up for the rest of my life. And that's just, I don't know, weird argument to have, but
No, I mean,
I'm not big on
yeah,
that.
no, I totally get that. And I mean, this is the thing that I, you know, just speaking on forgiveness, you guys, because I'm huge about this. I'm huge about forgiving people, but it doesn't mean that they still get access to your life, because what happens when someone does something to break your trust or does something to hurt you? Like, you see the person they really are. You see who they are. And who they are is someone I don't want to have anything to do with. Like, I could forgive that you did this, but like, yeah, you don't get access. Like, you're not getting access anymore. How I view my husband is completely different. How I view him is different. Like, we are a team, and like, it's unconditional. It's the same thing with my kids. That's unconditional. I
Yeah,
chose
that's
that.
fair.
I vowed to that. It's unconditional. That means I have to dig Christ deep and say, okay, this hurts so much, but you have to free me from this pain and let me forgive. Like, you've got to forgive people, or you are drinking the poison. And maybe that means, like, yeah, it's done. I mean, I've cut people off in my life all the time. You know, I cut off access because I see who they were as a person. What benefit does that bring in my life? I've done it with family. There's no benefit. They showed me who they were. I believe them. And that's it. When it comes to my husband, that's unconditional. Like, we're in it. We're in it. And I ask God to bless this marriage. I ask him in this marriage every single day, who am I to God if I'm not stewarding even the hardest levels of forgiveness? If I'm not digging deep to say, wow, like, he really hurt me. I committed to him. Help me through this. Like, I'm making a mockery of everything he's done for me. Everything God has done for me. I'm like, haha, I don't forgive him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I see it very differently with my husband, because I wanted this marriage to work. I've messed up everything in my life. Can I have one thing that I don't screw up? So who do I need to be to not screw it up? And this is the thing, ladies. It's the standards you set, the standards you hold yourself to during the relationship. Okay. Because we talk a lot about what our guys don't do. But ask yourself, did you show up as the woman you're asking him to trust, to build with, to love unconditionally? Are you emotionally consistent? Are you faithful in the ways that count? Did you do what you said you would do? That's the question. And guys need to ask the same thing. It's, I mean, imagine what does that say about a relationship when one person is holding high standards for themselves, for their partner, but has a blind spot for themselves? That's a recipe for disaster.
I think that's almost the norm. I know
That's
you're
why we're
hearing that.
doing this show.
That's why we're doing the show.
I am so freaking sick of the norm,
I
okay?
know. I think it's the norm. I really do. And I think you're right. I think that is a good reason to be having this conversation. Because if one person hears this and goes, you know what, maybe I should take a look at myself first,
Yeah.
man or woman, I think that men always are in a position of needing to do a better job of looking at ourselves.
Yeah.
Always. I think we start there in every conversation. So, ladies, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming women for anything here because I'm the first one to say, if you have a problem in your relationship as a guy, look at yourself
Yeah.
first. Are you protecting? Are you providing? Are you leading? Are you doing what you have to do to provide an atmosphere a life where she can feel protected, provided, and all those things. I want to hear about what she's not doing if she's in fight or flight all the time because you aren't doing your job. I don't want to hear another word. Take care of yourself, shut up, get it done. But when the battle starts, it's very clear to me that men are the ones, once the battle begins and they realize, hey, this could end badly, men are the first ones to go, I will do whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
I will change. I will give that up. I will do this if that's needed. And more often than not, they don't know where to go. That beckoning, that almost begging of just tell me and I'll do it because I don't want to lose what I got goes unanswered. I think that as soon as women kind of realize they have that upper hand and they're totally in control and their man has just simped out into next month, I think they lose respect for him. I think it becomes a situation of contempt and then it's over anyway. It's just a matter of how long they're going to torture the guy.
Yeah. Well,
Sorry, I'm being a little rough today.
ladies, if that's true, I'm embarrassed for all of us. Okay. Because this show is going to call out a higher standard for all of you. And this is very simple, right? Ultimately, before we close out, a final thing, you guys, rebuilding trust just requires a decision. If you're not in it, if you're not like, yes, I want to build with this guy. Yes, I want to forgive him. Yes, I want to create a future. If there's any part of you that's not in it, then go. Go. I literally walked out of a marriage with four kids in a state I knew nobody. Not one person. Didn't have a job. I didn't know what. I was lost by myself with four kids. You don't have an excuse about fear. If you're not in it, you're not in it, and it's time to go, truly. But I'm saying if you really take massive responsibility, you make a decision, not a feeling, not a guarantee, not a perfect apology, but a decision. Are you willing to make that decision and actually work it, not just wait for this guy to earn you back while you do nothing? What does your responsibility look like going forward? And what's the thing you would tell your guys, who want to have that trust, who want to rebuild, but they don't know if she's actually in it with him? Then what are you telling them?
Good close.
Yeah.
Love it. Same thing for the men.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, if you're not already subscribed to the show, what are you doing? Subscribe right now. Please leave a review. It takes 2 minutes, okay? You know that you know someone that needs the show, so share it with a partner or a sister or a friend who is in a toxic situation and won't admit it, okay? The more we share these real conversations, the more people are going to stop settling for the surface level love. Make sure you guys check out Rory over at Power of Man. Okay, share it with your husband. Links, I'll get them in the show notes today. I don't think I've ever put them in there. But both perspectives matter, you guys. Okay, until next time, stay real.